Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Dr. Ali Zaini. Today is we're teaching, this is about the Islamic studies class, Sunday school, and it's defending Islam against stereotypes, people who raise doubts about Islam. Islam says kill the infidels. Stereotype, Islam says the kill infidels. And why do people say that about Islam? Why do people say Islam is a violent religion that say, kill the infidels, kill them wherever you see them, and kill them wherever you find them? The people are saying that because of 9/11, as of course, as you know, and the Muslim terrorists in movies and news, like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, they have an impression that jihad is a holy war. And Quran statements that taken out of context, such as Surah Al-Baqarah, Kaw, Surah 2, verse 191, that says, وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ, and kill them wherever you find them. So they come and say, okay, this verse will kill them wherever you can find them here, is an evidence that Islam is a violent religion. Islam says kill the infidels. Okay. And today we'll have a discussion about this. First of all, regarding the expression infidels and holy war, these expressions don't exist in Islam. There is no infidels in Islam. It's a derogatory term, I think, used by Christians, maybe, mostly by Christians, to label the non-Christians to be infidels. It's a derogatory term. And holy war also was a Christian term from the Christian traditions. Don't apply it in Islam. There's no holy war and unholy war. The non-believers were called in Surah Al-Kafirun, were called, if we look at Surah Al-Kafirun, Kafirun means kuffar, plural of kuffar. So Allah's calling them, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, O you disbelievers. O you disbelievers. Allah didn't say, O you infidels. No, he said, O you disbelievers. And then there is a message of tolerance, if you think. It says that, I don't worship what you worship, nor do you worship, you will worship what I worship, and I shall not worship that you worship, nor will you worship what I worship. You have your own religion, and I have my own religion. So you have your own religion, and you have my own religion. So It implies tolerance here, is that you have your religion, I have my religion. You don't worship my God and I don't worship your God. And that was for the mostly for the idol worshippers, because in a different ayah in the Quran, Allah saying about the people of the book, which are the Jews and the Christians, about the people of the book, he said, tell them that we're worshiping the same God, okay? So we'll come to this later, but this is mainly for the pagans, whom Allah say, tell them, your God's not my God, I don't worship what you worship, you don't worship what I worship, you have your own religion, I have my own religion. So Allah's, it's also, there is a message of tolerance, that this is your religion for you, and this is my religion for me, okay? So that's a message of tolerance in there. So there is nothing called infidels in Islam, really. If there is infidel, then Surah Al-Kafirun should be called the Surah of Infidels. And that's not true. Okay. Surah Al-Kafirun also gives a message of tolerance that we talked about. Now, let's now visit the verse that says, and kill them wherever you find them. Let me bring you the whole text. Okay. Now, let's look at the whole text. Okay. fight the verse, this is and kill them wherever you find them. Let me get a better translation. Yeah, that's probably a better translation. Okay. Fight. Okay. Then this one is say, kill them wherever you find them. That's verse here. It says, kill them wherever you find them. Where is that thing? Translation? Yeah, it's here.
Six.
Yes. This is the one that they were talking about. They take it out of context. They cut it out of its context and present it in a deceiving manner. Says Islam and says, and kill them wherever you find them. Okay, that's true. But what's before and what's after? Let's look with what is before. What's before says, fight in the way of Allah against those who fight against you. Okay? But begin not hostility, for Allah doesn't love the transgressors. Then, and slay them wherever you find them. Who are they? The ones who fight you. So slay the ones who fight you, wherever you find them. That's common sense, okay? And drive them out of the places where they drove you out from. So slay them wherever you find them, or kill them wherever you find them, and drive them out of the places where they drove you out from. So there is a war, they drove us from our land, and they were fighting against us. So Allah is saying, kill them wherever you find them. Okay, and then Allah continues saying, persecution is worse than slaughter, is worse than killing. To persecute somebody is worse than killing. So don't let them persecute you. Okay, and fight not at the places of worship until they first attack you there. If they attack you, then kill them. Such is the reward of disbelievers. But if they desist, if they stop, then Allah is forgiving and merciful. Allah is forgiving and merciful if they stop. So we have forgiveness and mercy if they stop. But if they don't stop, then kill them wherever you find them. Okay, that's common sense. So they take this one and they put it on banners and say, Islam says and kill them wherever you find them. And they take it completely out of context, completely out of context. Okay. You know, before the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before the army leaves, Prophet Muhammad has fight in the name of Allah. And don't kill a woman, a child, a person who's a monk, who's worshiping, secluding himself to worship for the purpose of worship. Don't cut a tree. These kind of advices that I don't remember all of them, but these were the advices that given by the Prophet before sending an army or sending an expedition or something like that. But there is an amazing ayah of the Quran that proves that Islam is more tolerant than so many religions out there. Look at this ayah. First of all, you notice in this ayah that the number is nice. It's chapter 5, ayah 5, verse 5. So chapter 5, verse 5, which is surah 5, ayah 5. Okay, so Surah 5, Chapter 5, Section Ayah 5, prove that Islam is very tolerant against so many religions. What does it say? Two things. First, the food of those who have received the scripture is lawful for you, and your food is lawful for them. But the most important one is that the virtuous or the chaste women, the women who keep their chastity, we are allowed to marry them. We are allowed to marry Jewish women and Christian women. We're allowed to marry them. Now you tell me, what is more tolerant than having my own wife in my own home, the mother of my own children, the most beloved person to me on earth, my wife, my sweetheart, my darling, to be from a Christian or a Jewish, to be a Christian wife or a Jewish wife? What could be more tolerant than that? Those who say Muslims don't like to have non-Muslims as friends. Really? I can have her as a wife, but I can't have her as a friend? It doesn't make any sense, right? That's the highest level of tolerance. It's not offered in so many religions. Remember a story about a Catholic and the Protestant couple. They wanted to get married in the Catholic Church. The priest said, good luck for you. I'm happy for you, but I can't marry you. And then they went to the Protestant priest. I don't know what denomination it was, a Baptist or Southern Baptist or something like that. And then the priest said, you know, I'm so happy for you, but I can't get you married. I can't get you married. One of you has to convert. Same thing in the Catholic Church. So they ended up having a judge to marry them, basically. Even within the same traditions, Christian traditions, within the same religion, they don't accept different denominations. Now we're saying that a Muslim man can marry a Christian or a Jewish wife. Now, and the various women of those who received the book, scripture before you. Scripture, those are called the people of the book. The people of the book are the Jews and the Christians. So the reason they are called that is because the books that they have today, the Bible that it had today, the Torah that the Jews have today, and the Bible that the Christians have today, okay, was based on the heavenly book that was revealed. It was based on a heavenly book that was revealed from heaven to Prophet Jesus and from heaven to Prophet Moses. So that's why they're called the people of the book. And the reason is because we have a lot in common denominator. So there would be no problem for a Muslim man to marry a Christian or a Jewish woman. Okay? Because we have so much in common. But that's right there. That's like a very clear message of tolerance. Now, there is a very clear, decisive rule given to us. Who can we have as friends and who we can't have as friends? Okay. Those who can be friends with, the verse Surah Al-Mumtahina, chapter 60, Surah 60, from verse 8 to verse 9. Verse 8 says what? It says, Allah doesn't forbid you. Okay, let me get a good translation here. Yeah. Allah does not forbid you. I look for a translation that's more modern than Shakespearean language. Allah does not forbid you as regards to those who don't fight you because of your faith, and did not expel you from your homes, that you do good to them and deal justly with them. Surely Allah loves who maintain justice. And Allah used the word tabarruhum. Tabarruhum in Arabic is a word used in birr al-walidain. Birr al-walidain. Birr al-walidain is like the, how do you do good to your parents? So that's the same word used, the same verb. And so Allah is saying, be fair and deal justly with them and deal with them kindly. Okay, you can be nice, and actually they should treat them the same kind of nice way you treat your parents. Okay, that is number 8. Number 9 says Allah forbids you only about those who fought you because of your faith, expelled you from your homes, and helped in expelling you from your homes, that you have friendship with them. Those who develop friendship with them are wrongdoers. People that are we fighting. Those are the ones that are we forbidden to be friends with. In our situations here today in the United States, those are the Islamophobes. Islam forbids you from being kind and nice and cute with an Islamophobe. Islam forbids you because you can't be a friend of the Islamophobe. Actually, it doesn't make sense. How could you be? He knows that you're a Muslim and he's an Islamophobe. You know, you can't be intimate friends. How could you? If he hates Islam, then he can't be. I mean, something has to be, something is not right. Islamophobe cannot be a friend, close friends, not acquaintance, close friends with like intimate friends with an Islamophobe. Whether this Islamophobe was a Christian or a Jew or a people of the book or people of not, or people that don't have books, Islamophobe is an Islamophobe. He is fighting me because I'm a Muslim. That's all what he's fighting me for. So we're not allowed to have intimate or close relationships with them. Okay, maybe casual conversations, no more. And that makes perfect sense. You know, in the past days, the people used to be like a father would become a Muslim and follows Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the son is not, or the other way around. So Prophet Muhammad forbade the ones like the Muslims who have non-Muslim fathers from having a relationship with them, because they were fighting and they were army fighting. So the father is on the bad side and the son is on the good side. So the son is not allowed to have good relationship with his father who's fighting and killing his brothers in Islam. So that was also that also falls under this rule here. Okay, so that opens the door right away to, we can marry Christians and Jews. We are not allowed, we're encouraged to be nice and kind to the people who don't fight us because of our faith, but we're forbidden from fighting, from being friends with people who fight us because of our faith. Now, is 9/11 an evil act in Islam? Yes. Why? Many reasons. Number one, it is against innocent people. And Allah said in the Quran, oh, let me revisit this later on. But now, before we get there, the question is, do radicals, ISIS, for example, kill non-Muslims only? ISIS has killed more Muslims than non-Muslims. Way more Muslims than non-Muslims. Most of the ones killed by ISIS are Muslims. And they consider them as radicals. They consider them as not true Muslims. They call them hypocrites and they kill them, they slaughter them. That's number one. Now, why 9/11 is haram? First of all, it is against the ayah, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fight for the sake of Allah, those who fight you only, and don't transgress, because Allah doesn't like the ones who transgress. And this is verse 2190. Here it is. Here. Fight in the way of Allah against those who fight you, but don't begin hostility. Better find a better translation. Well, let's try this. No, that looks Shakespearean to me. Okay. Fight in the way of Allah against those who fight you, and do not transgress. Verily, Allah does not like the transgress. So only those who fight you, and don't transgress. So 9/11 had a lot of, almost everybody that was killed in 9/11 was an innocent civilian. Innocent civilian, 4,000 or 5,000 innocent lives they were living in this tower. And if we're talking about religion, many of them, they had thousands of Muslims there, like hundreds of Muslims there. They were killed as well, if you're talking about a religion thing. Okay, that's number one. That's reason number one. Reason number two is vigilantes. Vigilante means that a person taking the laws in their own hands, in his own hands, means that a enforce the laws by himself, is acting on his own. So they consider themselves that they are licensed to launch a war on the behalf of Islam and Muslims. They were not representing me, and certainly they were not representing you. They were hijacked the name of our religion, Islam, and made themselves representatives of all Muslims, and they launched the war, and that's not true. This, if a war is to be announced, it has to be from a head of a state who made the decision, supported by the people, to go to war. Other than that, it becomes vigilantism. And Islam does not support vigilantism at all. And third thing, that they have violated the religion that they claim to protect. The rules of Islam does not allow them to do that. So they violated the religion, the laws, the rules of the religion that they are claiming that they are fighting for. And that's a third reason. And other reasons, you can come up with other reasons also. If you think about it, you can come up with other reasons. Are we and the people of the book worship the same God? Yes. Quran statement, Surah Al-Ankabut, Spider, Surah 29, verse 46. Let's look for a nice translation. Oh, I hate this ancient English. Let's see here. And argue not with the people of the scripture unless in a way that's better, save with such them as to do wrong. And say, we believe in which has been revealed to you and revealed into us, and you and us. Our God and your God is one, and to him we surrender. So we reach to the God differently. We Muslims reach to God through submission, through surrender. Surrender means that we reach to God by praying 5 times a day, fasting Ramadan, paying charity, going for Hajj, paying zakah. But they reach to God in their own ways. It's the same God, but they are reaching it in different way. The different ways, for example, for the Christians, they reach to God through Jesus. And for the Jews, they reach to God based on the understanding that they are the chosen people. So it's at the very end, we all believe in the same God. You know, if you try to compare the Christian religion, for example, with the Muslim Islamic religion, you find that the Trinity, which is the Father, which is God, He's Allah that we are that we are talking about here. That's the same Allah that we're talking about. The Son, which is Jesus, to us is a prophet. The Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, to us is Jibril. So for us, it's God, angel, man. For us, the Father is God, the angel, the Holy Spirit is Jibril, and the man is Jesus. But to them, this is a Trinity, and this whole Trinity makes a God to them. So, so they reach to God through Jesus. And if you know it or you don't know it, Islam is the only non-Christian religion that respects Jesus and honors Jesus. There is absolutely no religion other than Islam, okay, that respects Jesus and honors Jesus. Even the Jews don't honor Jesus. According to the position of the synagogue, Mary made love to Yusuf, and what's his name? Forgot his name. Yusuf and Najjar, her cousin, Yusuf and Najjar, I think. Anyway, she had made love to him, and the result of this love was Jesus. So they basically believe that he's a legitimate child born out of marriage. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them in the Quran for this thing, and said they have accused Maryam with a very false, serious accusation. Islam is the only non-Christian religion that respects Jesus. Okay. Now, there is a couple of videos that I want to show you that which caused the source of, by the way, Bin Laden wasn't a religious person, wasn't a scholar. He was a civil engineer, and his deputy, or Lieutenant Zawahri, was a medical doctor. None of them received any formal Islamic education that permits them to do, to come up with these radical views. And if you look at it, 9/11 was done by basically a group of Saudi Arabians. The people who say Islam is violence, religion, they have no proof. Muslims are violence, they have no proof or statistics. Once sent an email to a person who said that, Muslims are violent. I told him, prove it. Show me a statistics. Actually, I will show you some statistics. The Qaeda, which is the organization of Bin Laden, was, let's say, 10,000 people. Let's make it 10,000 people. They are less than 10,000, but let's make it 100,000 people. So we bring the calculator here, and we say, okay. Muslims are 1,500 at that time. Muslims were 1,500. 1,500 million. So 1.5 billion, which is 1,500. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, actually, no, that's not it. We said Bin Laden, as we said, what? Said what, 100,000? So this is 100,000. All right. Number of Muslims are 1,500 millions. 1, 2, 3, 4, Five, six. Yeah, that's the number of Muslims. So what's the ratio? It is 6.00000. It's 0.00006. Okay, let's multiply by 100 to make it percentage. So, okay, so it's 0.007, let's say it's 0.007 of Muslims is against that, or not part of this, not part of that. So it means that if we subtract this from 100, it means that 99.9933333 Muslims are doing well. So actually we're doing well, are not part of this, we're doing well. Okay, so statistically or mathematically, it is proven that this is a very, very, very radical minority. Okay, they don't represent Islam at all. They don't represent the wide spectrum of Islam at all. At all, this is just like a tiny little drop. And then in the, and I asked the guy, I said, prove it. If you say they are a bunch of Saudi Arabians, okay, they are a bunch of Saudi Arabians, and let's say let's say 1% of the people of Saudi Arabia, let's say 6,000 people from Saudi Arabia, or 60,000 people from Saudi Arabia participated into that, like we're supporting of that, and divided by the number of people in Saudi Arabia, that was 15 million, roughly, yeah. 0.04, that brings you 0.04. So statistically, no statistics would show or prove or indicate any kind of supporting the argument that all Muslims or most of Muslims are terrorists or violent. Okay, people need to understand that there are criminal Muslims. If you go to any Muslim country, there are jails, and jails are full of criminal Muslims. Muslims, Egyptians, Muslims who commit crimes, they go to jail. So it's not just like here. We can go to any prison and we can find a lot of Christians there, committed crime, and they're in jail. So criminals, yeah, we have criminals. Okay, but that doesn't mean anything. It's we have killers. I mean, those are just a bunch of criminals. They belong to the prison. Okay, just like everybody else. So basically, statistically, there is absolutely no proof. And let me show you that video. I don't know. Show you this video by President Obama.
Your entire community so often is targeted or blamed for the violent acts of the very few. People conflating the horrific acts of terrorism with the beliefs of an entire faith. For more than 1,000 years, people have been drawn to Islam's message of peace. The standard greeting is Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you. Whoever wants to enter paradise, the Prophet Muhammad taught, let him treat people the way he would love to be treated. Muslim Americans enrich our lives today in every way. They're our neighbors, the teachers who inspire our children, the doctors who trust us with our health. They're scientists who win Nobel Prizes, young entrepreneurs who are creating new technologies that we use all the time. They're the sports heroes we cheer for, like Muhammad Ali and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And by the way, when Team USA marches into the next Olympics, one of the Americans waving the red, white, and blue will be a fencing champion wearing her hijab. Ibtihad Muhammad, who is here today, stand up. Come on, let me... There we go. Muslim Americans, keep us safe. There are police and our firefighters. They're in Homeland Security, in our intelligence community. The overwhelming majority of the world's Muslims embrace Islam as a source of peace. It is undeniable that a small fraction of Muslims propagate a perverted interpretation of Islam. They're not the first extremists in history to misuse God's name. We've seen it before across faiths. This is the truth. We have to understand, attack on one faith is an attack on all our faiths. The first word revealed in the Quran, Iqra, means read, to seek knowledge, to question assumptions. If we expect our own dignity to be respected, so must we respect the dignity of others.
Can't be said better than that. I'll also show you another source of...
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. Later in this newscast, we'll take an in-depth look at the Islamic religion. Action News anchor Juanita Stevenson shows us the truth about Islam and its followers right here in the Valley.
Well, President Bush took to the airwaves tonight to...
Continues. The religion of Islam.
Who are they and what is the real truth about Islam? Tonight, Action News anchor Juanita Stevenson joins us with some of the answers.
Well, Islam is the second largest religion only to Christianity in its number of followers, yet it remains among the most misunderstood of faiths. With this country in a war against terrorists who say they represent the Islamic faith, we sought out Muslims here to interpret their ancient religion. It is Friday afternoon in northeast Fresno. Prayer is a way to be peaceful. Islam itself.
A distorted picture.
Here, the thing that I want to show you is that one source of the Islam, the misunderstanding of Islam, is Hollywood.
Hollywood mainly is propagating a distorted picture of Islam. In terms of movies like Executive Decision.
We are the true soldiers of Islam.
Where the terrorist is shooting and killing people with a machine gun, and he's saying to the flight attendant, it's all here, it's all in the Quran.
Al Zaini says the events of 9/11 distorted true Islam even more. The terrorists do not, he says, share his religion.
I feel deeply hurt about that, and I feel that the name of Islam was hijacked.
That's me 20 years ago.
And misrepresented. And I have very strong faith that our fellow Americans will understand that.
Professor Al Zaini, Bosnian immigrant, later.
There is also another interview.
Well, ever since September the 11th, there have been reports of backlash against Arab Americans and Muslims. Tonight, we take a look at a Valley family who's been affected by the tragic events, not only because they're Muslim, but only because they're Americans, or also because they're Americans. Karen Zarzadias joins us live from our newsroom tonight. She has more on that side of the story. Karen.
Americans and Muslims right here in the Valley, some of them our co-workers, neighbors, friends, and even teachers.
That's me 20 years ago as well.
Dr. Ali Al Zaini is a civil engineering professor at Fresno State.
Bending effect.
And one highly respected by his students.
He's a nice professor.
Past 4 years, Dr. Al Zaini is a father committed to his family. Wife Manal, 9-year-old Mohammed, 8-year-old Ahmed, 3-year-old Sarah, and 5-month-old Lena. Together, the family prays daily, devoted to God.
I believe from the bottom of my heart that Islam will solve a lot of the problems of the world today. The moderate Islam, the beautiful Islam that we love and practice, not the one that is being misrepresented by some fanatics.
It's the religious fanatics, Dr. Alzaini says, are misrepresenting the Muslim faith. And since September 11th, it's them he feels are contributing to a drastic change in their life now.
A few hours later, we found ourselves being blamed for it. Because the suspects that did that shared the same religion of Islam. We felt so sad and so hurted, and we felt that the name of Islam was hijacked and was stolen and used in where it shouldn't be used.
Later, the Alzainis share how much their life has changed since September 11th and how they're coping through it. Live in the newsroom, Karen Zarcidias, back to you.
Constitutional rights.
Light on this family. Manal Alzaini moved here from Egypt 10 years ago. Not once did they ever think their freedoms would be tested either.
When you first moved here, I'm sure you never thought that this would type of thing would ever happen.
Certainly, we came from non-democratic societies, and freedom, democracy, constitutional rights, this is all what America is about. And we never thought that we will experience this again after we immigrated from our countries.
We came here because of the freedom and justice.
Do you think now that that's still there?
We feel that we are asked to accept injustice. And I think that nobody should be asked to accept injustice. We are asked to accept injustice because of what is happening.
Before the September 11th attack, the Alzaini family didn't feel any different from anyone else. But before they knew it, things dramatically changed. They feared for their safety because the terrorist suspects responsible for the attack happened to share their Islamic faith.
Tell me what life was like after September 11th.
After September 11th, after what happened, I was so scared. I had to stay for a while in my home. And this was really hard. I was so scared.
Manal was afraid to leave her home after she heard of other Muslim women getting attacked. But never did she think of altering her appearance out of fear.
See, the scarf is a sign of faith, sign of a strong relationship with God. Why should we change that? I mean, like, it's not, it shouldn't cause fear to anybody.
Fortunately, concerned friends and neighbors supported the Alzainis and comforted them, letting them know they'd stand beside them through the tough times. But Ali and Manal's biggest concern was their children and how others would treat them.
Kids, they have their own world. They live in a world of peace and, you know, they are so innocent. They don't
kids
understand.
They don't know how to hate. So all the kids were very nice.
That's good.
We are the ones who are getting the backlash.
Yeah.
And it's the adults, the Alzainis say, need to learn more about the Islamic faith and not assume every Muslim is the same.
They should know more about Islam itself, not about the people who are misrepresenting Islam. I mean, every religion has people who are misrepresenting it.
The Alzainis believe growing suspicions have led the government to question Arab Americans, putting innocent lives under the microscope.
What do you see now in the future as far as for your family and as also for the Muslim community?
We are afraid that we are going to be targets of further loss of constitutional rights. Because we are the usual suspects after each attack. I wish that, this changes.
Despite their concerns, the Alzainis remain confident their children's futures will be better, especially knowing their faith will get them through this together.
To us, Islam, our religion, is the most important thing in life because our future in the hereafter depends on how well we practice our religion and how well we teach our children to practice the religion. We are not willing to give away our religion, to give up our religion, and we shouldn't be asked to do that. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech is all what the United States is about.
Dr. Alzaini has suggested a website all of us can look at to get a better understanding of the Quran and the Muslim.
So basically, What I'm trying to say here is that we have radicals on both sides at that time. By the way, this is the math here. I did the math. It shows that the very, 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 very small portion of Muslims are part of Al-Qaeda or ISIS or any of those radical organizations. But what I'm trying to say here is also we have radicals on both ends. At the same time when Bin Laden was saying, you are either with us or you are a hypocrite. Yes, Bin Laden's telling us, it's either you are us or you are against us, or you are a hypocrite. George Bush on the other side, he was saying, it's either you are us or with the terrorists. I mean, this is very insulting. A lot of intellectual people are insulted because what do you mean that if I disagree with you, I am a terrorist? You label me as a terrorist because I disagree with you? I disagree with you, I disagree with him. I disagree with both of you, okay? I disagree with the terrorist. I disagree with your kind of statement of like, it's either you are with us or with the terrorists. Dividing the world into two camps, I am against both of you. But I'm not a terrorist. So a lot of intellectuals were intimidated because of the statements like that in the media at that time running. The cartoons about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is a crime in Europe. You can go to jail for anti-Semitic. If you're anti-Semitic, then you go to jail in Europe. In United States, it wasn't illegal until very recently when President Trump signed a law to make it illegal in the United States. But before that, it wasn't illegal. But it was considered illegal. Now, if you do anything, any cartoon or anything offensive to the Jewish religion, you'll be anti-Semitic, you get prosecuted, you go to jail. And I know people who went to jail in France because they were anti-Semitic or made anti-Semitic statements or like whatever it is, cartoons or demonstration sort of this thing. So, I mean, now when it is against Islam, it's freedom of speech. And when it is against the anti-Semitic, then it's a crime. This is double standards that we see and we observe. There are people that have to be respected by everybody. Okay, the leaders, the prophets in the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, the Quran, all these prophets must be respected. If they insult Prophet Muhammad, okay, we can't insult Prophet Jesus because he is as dear to us as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can't insult Prophet Moses because he's dear to us as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we kind of get stuck in the middle, okay? But what I'm trying to say here is that people have double standards when dealing with these, like what happened in Denmark before and what happened in France. And it's not fair. It's not fair for our tradition. Okay, now. Finally. Okay, if we go to the website, Islamic Studies class, and then Quran says, kill them wherever we find them. Here you will see a statement made by Yasser Qadi, had many lectures about modern jihadists, the radicals, and he has lecture about the reality of ISIS, modern Muslim fundamentalism, and he has a lecture about Muslims condemn terrorism, and he has a lecture about America, foreign policy, and the rise of ISIS, and how is the foreign policy is not fair, and it led to the rise of ISIS. And then Muslim scholars, including Dr. Yasser Qadhi, they have issued a letter to al-Baghdadi, which is the president of ISIS, or the leader of ISIS, and condemning what he said from an Islamic perspective. Very precise, point one, point two, point three, point four, point five, and then they detailed the points. But 24 points at the beginning, executive summary, and then later on I detailed our follow-up, or like more elaboration. So you are so much encouraged to use these resources to have better Islamic, because that's a, you will be asked about these questions, and the least you can do is being able to give a correct Islamic answer, correct answer. If you don't know the correct answer yourself, then how are you going to be able to give it to others? Okay? All right. So, okay. Now,